Alice and I had been sitting against a haystack all afternoon. Between us stood a clothes basket full of cowslips, wilting in the genial warmth of the sun. For over an hour, we had been deflowering the golden-fingered heads and laying them out on an ebony-coloured tray to dry.
I first started to drink beer when I was 3, my Uncle Silas said. Not all that big a man, mind you. Just a pint for breakfast.
I confess it didn't surprise me very greatly that my Uncle Silas had set himself so early an example in the matter of drinking, and I merely remarked half to myself in a casual sort of way how useful that early training had turned out to be, since he'd been going at it with unbroken relish ever since.
Just where you're wrong, boy, he said. Just where you're wrong.
A rather worried and melancholy look came over his face as he said this. A mere glimmer of uncertainty, but significant. You're not trying to tell me, I said, that you gave it up at some time or other?
Gospel truth, he said. I did give it up once, boy, good and proper. Strike me down if I tell a lie. I went teetotal.
For how long, I said. 5 minutes?
Pretty near 2 months, he said. Gospel, true as I'm sitting here aside this here haystack. Pretty near 2 months, boy, teetotal.
I remarked that it was a great wonder how he'd ever managed to survive the ordeal. But for nearly a minute he ignored that. And when he spoke again, his eye was on the sky.
It damn well were and all. Pretty near the death on me. It were cruel. Wasn't a being chained up. Wasn't a nightmare.
I started trying to think of some possible explanation to account for this extraordinary lapse on my Uncle Silas's part. And it came to me without difficulty. Nothing to do with women, I suppose? My Uncle Silas slowly deflowered another cowslip.
2 on 'em, he said. They got round me, boy. They got round me. 2 on 'em. Gal and her mother.
The notion of anyone getting round my Uncle Silas, still less putting him off his beer for 2 months, was almost too much to bear. I couldn't speak a word.
Beautiful gal and all, he said. Beautiful.
He paused and held a pensive hand above the cowslips.
Ever seen a big ripe pear hanging in a muslin bag?
I said, of course I had. That was the way my Uncle Silas had the big golden Williams hanging every September on the house wall.
Just like that she were, he said. Firm and ripe. Like a nice ripe pear in a muslin bag.
All ready for you to pick. He took up another cowslip. Then, instead of deflowering it, he put it into his mouth and started reflectively chewing on the pale green stalk.
That's just about what I thought, he said.
Cuckoos had been calling across the meadows all afternoon, and now one flew over the haystack, chased by 2 more. My Uncle Silas watched them disappear beyond the oak tree with a bleary eye.
First met her at a fair, he said. Always remember her, in a white muslin dress and a big white straw hat, trying to win a clock on the hoopla.
With Ma?
With Ma, he said.
He seemed to brighten a little, I thought, at the mention of Ma. A sprightlier glint came back to his eye.
Ma were a good looker and all, mind you, and only about 35.
Another pair, I said.
No. She were more like a big yellow rose, a bit full-blown.
Still chewing at the cowslip stalk, he went on to tell me what a poor mess the girl and her mother were making of the hoopla, and how, pretty soon, he was helping to put this right.
In about 1/2 hour I'd got 'em a clock and all sorts of fancy bits of kit like vases and dolls and mustard pots and milk jugs and looking glasses and I don't know what. Well, it were a warmish day and by the time I got 'em loaded well up, I started to think it'd be a good idea to have a wet or two at the Rose and Crayon.
He laughed for the first time that afternoon and the cowslip fell out of his mouth as if in surprise.
"You might have thought I'd suggested strangling the pair on 'em," he said. "Ma went white with horror. The gal, Arabella, her name were, said, we do not drink, thank you. We've seen enough of that. And in a lot less time than it takes to get a pint down, they were gone."
With renewed sadness, my Uncle Silas started to deflower another cowslip.
"Well, I couldn't get this here gal out of me mind. You know how it gets, boy. They start haunting on you."
They lived in a keeper's cottage on the edge of a wood, the girl and her mother, he went on. And pretty soon he was trying to court her there. He didn't have all that lot of luck at first, and it took him a week or more to find out why, in his own words.
"They were so darnation obstropolous about a little thing like beer."
Then he found out that the girl's father, a gamekeeper, had got as far as having DTs about every 3 or 4 weeks, and was now resting in a home for drunks on the other side of the county.
"If you're coming to see Arabella," the mother said, "there must be no drink, absolutely no drink, no talk of drink. We've been through purgatory enough already."
"Not half as much as I went through in the next 5 or 6 weeks, though, I'll tell you. Was time I ever remember. Terrible, like being in a desert. Thought I'd go mad."
But the girl was nice. She was worth it. With thoughtful melancholy, my Uncle Silas started to deflower another cowslip.
"That were the trouble. I wasn't getting much for me money either. It were Ma, you see. Ma were allus there."
In the parlour, in the kitchen, in the garden, in the woods, across the meadows, Ma, it seemed, was always there.
"Never went quite so far as smelling me breath," Silas said. "But that were the rough idea. I'd be damned if I could ever get the gal alone."
I could hardly believe that my Uncle Silas had utterly failed to find a way of removing the final obstacle to this frustrating state of affairs. And I was quite relieved to hear him say,
"Then I had a bit of inspiration, bit of a brain wave. Very like it were this teetotal business, keeping me head uncommon clear for a week or two. Anyway, it come over me all of a pop what were up with Ma."
I ran my hand through the clothes basket and picked out a handful of juicy cowslip stems, at the same time watching Silas with an inquiring, crucial eye.
"Jealous," he said. "That were the trouble with Ma."
Philosophically chewing on another cowslip stem, Silas expanded a little further on the theme that there are mothers who are sometimes uncommonly jealous of their handsome daughters.
"Arter all, it were a bit lonely for her, with him not there, and she only 35. I've got to remember that."
I started to inquire how far this interesting discovery had carried him, and he laughed for the second time that afternoon and said,
"Arter that it were easy. Plain sailing all the way. Decided I'd give it up. Rather have the beer than the gal. Hadn't got the gal anyway."
This seemed, I thought, rather a disappointing end to an episode that I felt would itself ripen like a pear. But my Uncle Silas hadn't finished yet.
"One night I decided I'd nip off home and never come back," he said. "But at the last minute, I hadn't got the heart to tell the gal. Damn it, she were a beautiful gal, she were."
Picking up another handful of cowslips, he went on to tell me how he'd said good night to the girl and her mother for the last time. It was summer, and for some time after leaving there, he walked up and down in the lane outside.
"I wanted that gal very much," he said.
And at last he could bear it no longer. He decided to go back to the house and see if he couldn't talk to her alone.
"They were both in bed by that time, and I had to get a ladder and prop it up beside the house so as I could wake her."
He tapped softly on the window several times and called,
"Arabella?"
And at last a figure in a white nightgown appeared.
Arabella," he said, "I'm got summat I must say to you."
"It's not Arabella,"
a voice whispered.
"It's me."
My Uncle Silas was never one to lose his head on such occasions, and he said quickly,
"Oh, Ma, I just wanted to tell Arabella I shan't be coming this way no more."
My Uncle Silas laughed softly.
"Thought she'd have fell out the window when I said that. Thought she'd shed a tear.
Upset.
Terrible. Couldn't pacify her. Went on summat chronic about how the lark missed so much and how they'd miss me and all that. I was so surprised I nearly fell off the damn ladder."
Instead, he laughed softly again.
"She said, wouldn't I come into the bedroom a minute and talk it over? So I nipped in for a minute or two."
He was deflowering cowslips quite fast now.
"Matter of fact, we talked it over for the best part of the night. Very understanding woman she turned out to be."
"And after that," I said, "what about the girl?"
"Well,"
my Uncle Silas said, ruminating on the flight of two cuckoos in pursuit above the spinney,
"we come to a sort of pact. I said I'd keep Ma from being too lonely for a night or two if she'd leave me alone now and then with the gal."
The cuckoos, calling with throaty bubblings in the warm air, disappeared across the meadows of buttercups, their voices echoing in the still air.
"Very useful ladder, thou were. Up at one window one night and t'other the next."
My Uncle Silas laughing with a voice as soft and juicy as a full ripe pear, deflowered another cowslip.